Colleen Gragan, the woman who started Hand to Hand Martial Arts Center in Oakland, California, has been coming up for me. Partly, I think, because my son is still training with folks connected to it. And we've been having intense conversations about what a martial arts practice would be that was relevant to the current threat facing our global humanity, a threat that has engulfed the planet. How would a martial arts practice address that threat? And it seemed Colleen was standing there looking at me. I think about her a lot now that I'm receiving this punishment for speaking out about this global elite. I see there is zero chance they didn't also punish Colleen. I see her last 10 to 12 years at least differently through this current lens. The inevitability of agents crawling through her life, her school, doing their Iago act, planting despair in people's heads. The Lyme disease she came down with. Then her decision to buy land and get out of Oakland. The heavy weight that always seemed to be on her. So what school of martial arts can confront this threat? You see, Colleen thought about such questions as this. As how to make the martial arts relevant, relevant to the real threats to our existence as humans, given that we are one world now, given, as Popper said, we are here to defend the weak from the strong, granting that such terms vary by vantage, as well as over the course of our lives, while clearly identifying these 10,000 guys as fiendish predators, fixed immutables of class, who dissolve only with class itself. So what would such a school look like? It would embrace all humanity. It would embrace tenderness. But as Marcuse said, we have a responsibility to be concrete in this matter. Quote from Herbert Marcuse, "But the very scope and effectiveness of the democratic interjection, i.e., and these are going to be my interjections here, interjections, i.e., the internalization of the state, which in practical terms means utilitarianism." Continuing, "The democratic introjection have suppressed the historical subject, the agent of revolution. Free people are not in need of liberation. And what he means by that is that we have been trained to think we're free, if we're in that privileged category." Continuing, "And the oppressed, who are under no illusions, are not strong enough to liberate themselves. These conditions redefine the concept of utopia. Liberation is the most realistic, the most concrete of all historical possibilities, because our bodies want it. And at the same time, the most rationally and effectively repressed, because it's internalized. These limits, the most abstract and remote possibility, most remote possibility to deeply obedience-trained minds. We are still confronted with a demand," says Herbert Marcuse, "to state the concrete alternative. The demand is meaningless if it asks for a blueprint of the specific institutions and relationships which would be those of the new society. They cannot be determined a priori. They will develop in trial and error as the new society develops. However, the questions cannot be brushed aside by saying that what matters today is the destruction of the old, of the powers that be, making way for the emergence of the new. The demand to state the concrete alternatives is justified. Negative thinking, i.e., a world based on freedom, non-coercion, is the opposite," that's what he means by the negative thinking, "is the opposite of a world based on coercion, force. Negative thinking draws whatever force it may have from its empirical basis, the actual human condition in the given society, and the given possibilities to transcend this condition, to enlarge the realm of freedom. In this sense, negative thinking is, by virtue of its own internal concepts, positive, oriented toward and comprehending a future which is contained in the present. And that's Herbert Marcuse. The first paragraph is from Eros and Civilization, the final two from An Essay on Liberation. I quibbled with Marcuse a bit in Beginning Again over the phrase future contained in the present, not seeing what he did then, that the future exists in every unclass-trained infant, and that we all carry within us the potential to be it, our inherent freedom.